In monthly notices, February, 1893, it is said that probably for 7 weeks, up to the time of calculation, one part of this new star had been receding at a rate of 230 miles a second, and another part approaching at a rate of 320 miles a second, giving to these components a distance apart of 550 miles x60 x60 x24 x49, whatever that may be. But there was another seance. This time Dr. Vogel was the medium. The ghosts told Dr. Vogel that the new star had three parts, one approaching this Earth at the rate of about 420 miles a second, another approaching at a rate of 22 miles a second, a third part receding at a rate of 300 miles a second. See Jour BAA, 2-258. After that, the controls became hysterical. They flickered that there were six parts of this new star, according to Dr. Lowell's Evolution of Worlds, p. 9. The faithful will be sorry to read that Lowell revolted. He says, there is not room for so many on the stage of the cosmic drama. Four other reasons for repudiating spectroscopy, or spiritualism, in astronomy, read what else Lowell says upon this subject. Nova Aurigae became fainter. Accordingly, Professor Klinkerfus found that two bodies had passed, and had inflamed, each other, and that the light of their mutual disturbances would soon disappear, Jour BAA, 2-365. Nova Aurigae became brighter. Accordingly, Dr. Campbell determined that it was approaching this Earth at a rate of 128 miles a second, Jour BAA, 2-504. Then Dr. Espin went into a trance. It was revealed to him that the object was a nebula, ENG Mech, 56-61. Communication from Dr. and Mrs. Huggins, to the Royal Society, not a nebula, but a star, ENG Mech, 57-397. See Nature, 47-352, 425. That, according to M. Eugen Gothard, the spectrum of NA agreed perfectly with the spectrum of a nebula, that, according to Dr. Huggins, no contrast could be more striking than the difference between the spectrum of NA and the spectrum of a nebula. For an account of the revelations at Stonyhurst Observatory, see MEMS. RAS, 51-129. That there never had been a composition of bodies moving at the rates that were so definitely announced, because NA was a single star. Though I have read some of the communications from Rector and Dr. Finuit to Mrs. Piper, I cannot think that they ever mouthed sillier babble than was flickered by the star ghosts to the astronomers in the year 1892. We noted Professor Klinkerfus finding that two stars had passed each other, and that the illumination from their mutual perturbations would soon subside. There was no such disappearance. For observations upon NA, 10 years later, see Monthly Notices, 62-65. For Professor Barnard's observations 20 years later, see Sci. Amer. Sup. 76-154. The spectroscope is useful in a laboratory. Spoons are useful in a kitchen. If any other pilgrim should come upon a group of engineers trying to dig a canal with spoons, his experience and his temptation to linger would be like ours as to the astronomers and their attempted application of the spectroscope. I don't know what of remotest acceptability may survive in the third supposed proof that this Earth moves around the Sun, though we have not found it necessary to go into the technicalities of the supposed proof. I think we have killed the phantom thing, but I hope we have not quite succeeded, because we are moved more by the aesthetics of slaughter than by plain murderousness. We shall find unity in disposing of the third proof by the means by which the two others were disposed of. Regular annual shift of spectral lines versus solar motion. That, if this Earth moves around the Sun, the shift might be found by scientific Mrs. Piper so to indicate. But that if part of the time this Earth, as a part of one traveling system, moves at a rate of 19+13 miles a second and then part of the time at a rate of 19-13 miles a second, compounding with great complexities at transverse times, that is the end of the regular annual shift that is supposed to apply to orbital motion. We need not have admitted in the first place that the three abstrusities are resistances, however, we have a liking for revelations ourselves. Aberration and parallax and spectral lines do not indicate only that this earth moves relatively to the stars, quite as convincingly they indicate that the stars in one composition gyrate relatively to a central and stationary earth, all of them in one concavity around this earth, some of them showing faintest of parallax, if this earth be not quite central to the revolving whole. Something that I did not mention before, though I referred to Lowell's statements, is that astronomers now admit, or state, that the shift of spectral lines, which they say indicates that this earth moves around the sun, also indicates any one of three other circumstances, or sets of circumstances. Some persons will ask why I didn't say so at first, and quit the meaningless subject. Maybe it was a weakness of mine, something of a sporting instinct, I fear me, I have at times. I lingered, perhaps slightly intoxicated, with the deliciousness of Professor Keeler and his decimals, like someone at a racetrack, determining that a horse is running at a rate of 2,653 feet and 4 inches a minute, by a method that means that no more than it means that the horse is brown, is making clattering sounds, or has a refreshing odor. For a study of a state of mind like that of many clergymen who try to believe in Moses, and in Darwin, too, see the works of Professor Young, for instance. This astronomer teaches the conventional spectroscopic doctrine, and also mentions the other circumstances that make the doctrine meaningless. Such inconsistencies are phenomena of all transitions from the old to the new. Three giants have appeared against us. Their hearts are bubbles. Their bones wilt. They are the limp caryatides that uphold the phantom structure of paleoastronomy. By what miracle, we asked, could foundation be built subsequently under a baseless thing? But three ghosts can fit in anywhere. Sometimes astronomers cite the Foucault pendulum experiment as proof of the motions of this earth. The circumstances of this demonstration are not easily made clear, consequently one of normal suspiciousness is likely to let it impose upon him. But my practical and commonplace treatment is to disregard what the experiment and its complexities are, and to inquire whether it works out or not. It does not. See Amer. Jure. Psi. 2-12-402, Eng. Mech. 93-293, 306, Astro. Reg. 2-265. Also, we are told that experiments upon falling bodies have proved this Earth's rotation. I get so tired of demonstrating that there never has been any evolution mentally, except as to ourselves, that, if I could, I'd be glad to say that these experiments work out beautifully. Maybe they do. See Proctor's Old and New Astronomy, p. 229. 8. It is supposed that astronomic subjects and principles and methods cannot be understood by the layman. I think this, myself. We shall take up some of the principles of astronomy, with the idea of expressing that of course they cannot be understood by the unhypnotized any more than can the stories of Noah's Ark and Jonah and the whale be understood, but that our understanding, if we have any, will have some material for its exercises, just the same. The velocity of light is one of these principles. A great deal in the astronomic system depends upon this supposed velocity, determinations of distance, and amount of aberration depend. It will be our expression that these are ratios of impositions to mummeries, with such clownish products that formulas turn into antics, and we shall have scruples against taking up the subject at all, because we have much hard work to do, and we have qualms against stopping so often to amuse ourselves. But, then, sometimes in a more sentimental mood, I think that the pretty story of the velocity of light, and its determination, will some day be of legitimate service, be rhymed some day, and told to children, in future kindergartens, replacing the story of little Bo Peep, with the tale of a planet that lost its satellites and sometimes didn't know where to find them, but that good magicians came along and formulated the interminable. It was found by Romer, a 17th century astronomer, that, at times, the moons of Jupiter did not disappear behind him, and did not emerge from behind him, when they should. He found that as distance between this Earth and Jupiter increased, the delays increased. He concluded that these delays represented times consumed by the light of the moons in traveling greater distances. He found, or supposed he found, that when this Earth is farthest from Jupiter, light from a satellite is seen 22 minutes later than when nearest Jupiter. Given measurement of the distance between opposite points in the Earth's supposed orbit, and time consumed in traveling this distance, there you have the velocity of light. I still say that it is a pretty story and should be rhymed, but we shall find that astronomers might as well try to formulate the gambols of the sheep of Little Bo Peep, as to try to formulate anything depending upon the satellites of Jupiter. In the Annals of Philosophy, 23-29, col. Beauvoir writes that, upon December 7, 1823, he looked for the emergence of Jupiter's third satellite, at the time set down in the National Almanac. For 2 hours he looked, and did not see the satellite emerge. In Monthly Notices, 44-8, an astronomer writes that, upon the night of October 15, 1883, one of the satellites of Jupiter was 46 minutes late. A paper was read at the meeting of the British Astronomical Association, February 8, 1907, upon a satellite that was 20 minutes late. In Telescopic Work, p. 191, W.F. Denning writes that, upon the night of September 12, 1889, he and two other astronomers could not see satellite 4 at all. See the observatory, 9-237. Satellite 4 disappeared 15 minutes before calculated time, about a minute later it reappeared, disappeared again, reappeared 9 minutes later. For Todd's observation, see the observatory, 2-227. 6 times, between June 9 and July 2, 1878, a satellite was visible when, according to prediction, it should have been invisible. For some more instances of extreme vagaries of these satellites, see Monthly Notices, 43-427, and Jour BAA, 14-27, Observations by Noble, Turner, White, Holmes, Freeman, Goodacre, Ellis, and Molesworth. In periodical astronomical publications, there is no more easily findable material for heresy than such observations. We shall have other instances. They abound in the English Mechanic, for instance. But, in spite of a host of such observations, Professor Young, the Sun, p. 35, says that the time occupied by light coming from these satellites is doubtful by only a fraction of a second. It is of course another instance of the astronomers who know very little of astronomy.